This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 21st, episode 2252, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Ooh, and away we go.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. Hey, Jamie, did you hear about the horse that walked into the bar in New Orleans?
Tell me about the horse that walked into the bar, Glenn.
I know it sounds like a joke, but it actually happened. So this horse heard a certain song playing and apparently really likes that song. So Ace decided to take a walk into the bar while they were playing. Any guesses?
I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can no more. I'm gonna take my horse. Is it that one?
Exactly right. You hit it on the head. It was NOPD officer Joseph Jones and his horse Ace were walking by, and apparently the horse loves this song. I didn't realize, but the NOPD officers teach their horses to dance so they can entertain the crowds out in the streets and basically, you know.
They teach them to leg yield.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead. Yeah, so they teach them to dance. So that's what they say. They teach them to dance and also leg yield so they can trap somebody against a wall. But for the general population, it looks like dancing. And apparently this is one of the horse's favorite songs. So there's a video of the horse walking right into the bar and then backing out after he figured out.
Ain't nobody tell me
nothing. Nobody would serve him a drink, so he left.
Oh, boy. Probably shouldn't drink on the job. Anyway, Ace, jeez.
So Ace had a video that went viral a while back where he was dancing in a school auditorium. I forget which song it was, but that video, I remember watching it, went absolutely viral. So anyway, Ace is back in the news.
Fantastic.
Old Town Road. Perfect song to dance to when you're a horse in a bar.
Hey, did Jennifer tell us what's coming up on today's show?
Oh, no.
Or did Jennifer, you jump in front of her? Next?
I did not do that because we had to hear about the horse going into the bar.
And I forget how to do this show, apparently. So,
yeah, coming up on today's show, Steve Krause, who is the head of farrier services at Cornell University, you've heard him before, he's going to have the lowdown on summertime hoof health and summertime hoof care. Yes, it's hoof. And then Abby is going to stop by with another installment of the Chronicle of the Horse Through History. Woohoo! Stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Do you know I hate when we have segments about horses' feet because of that? Right.
Listen, people.
Cut you off.
I'll be leading the episode that interviews, so it will be pronounced correctly. We're not British. Okay, carry on.
So I'm giving my daily whinny to not birthdays because I couldn't find any, but I'm giving my daily whinny to Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground and all our friends down there, because longtime listeners will know we've done shows from down there. We've had them on the show. And we went down there to ride, Wendy and I and Jennifer and everybody. We went down and we did a show from Disney. Well, Tri-Circle D Ranch is getting brand new barns. So I wanted to give my daily whinny to all of our friends down there. They call them the happiest horses on earth, and the barns were kind of run down. So, but according to the drawings that we see, they're going to be some pretty spiffy digs. There was talk for a while of getting rid of the pony rides at Fort Wilderness, but I guess seeing there, it looks like they're investing probably what looks like about $1 million or $2 million in barns, I would say they're going to stay around. So good news for the horse world and everybody at Disney. Congratulations.
Well, Well, I know she's listening, so I have to give a daily whinny to J.K. Rowling. Oh, wait. She's probably
We met her while we were over there. She was so excited to meet us.
I'm sure. I would like to give my daily whinny to her because it is a very sad news to report that J.K. Rowling has officially fallen off. She has fallen off. She's one of the first ever to fall off the Forbes billionaire list. She is going broke. She's fallen off the Forbes billionaire list. Guess why? Can you guess why?
I have no idea.
Because she keeps giving away all her money.
Ah.
She is so amazing. This is her quote. You have a moral responsibility when you've been given far more than you need and to do wise things with it and to give it intelligently. She started a nonprofit and has given away $1 billion. It's insane. She's given away an estimated $160 million. And that is only 16% of her fortune, but that's a big number. And she started a nonprofit. I'm sure everybody already knows this. I'm telling you nothing you know, called Lumos, a charity she founded, which helps tens of thousands of orphan children either reunite with their family or find forever families. Oh my God, I love her.
It's amazing how much money, if you write the most successful books in the world that turn into the most successful movies in the world, how much money you can make.
I mean, there's like at least four of them, so good job, guys.
And, you know, a lot of the billionaires are doing that, I guess. With the Gates Foundation, they're giving away a lot of their money, and just a whole bunch of billionaires now are doing something good.
Well, you know, she started out basically lived in a car because nobody would publish the book.
The place where she would sit above or in the bar or whatever in Edinburgh, we passed the place where she wrote some of the books.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
And of course, the one street there in Edinburgh is just, she took and made Diagon Alley, just basically designed it after that street. We spent a lot of time in that street walking up and down the hill. It had a hill in Edinburgh, not in the movies. So
I have some news that you are going to absolutely love, Glenn. Yes. You're going to be amazed, okay? Are you sitting down?
I am.
The last living Black Beauty from the movie just celebrated its 30th birthday. I know you celebrate all things Black Beauty, maybe we'd have a little bit of a little time here to celebrate Billy, who is one of the five Black horses who starred in the 1994 adaptation of the Anna Sewell novel. He is an Orlov Trotter. He was imported from Moscow at the end of 1992. There's not enough Black horses in England, apparently. And he was after the movie, he was bought by the groom who had him, Luis, who worked as a groom on the film set, bought him once the filming had finished. So happy birthday, Black Beauty.
Aww. All right. Well, let me play. I'll break down and actually play the birthday song for this horse. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong one. Oh, that's not it. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Which one are they remaking? Is it the Black Stallion? One of the two they're remaking. Was it Black Beauty or Black Stallion?
I don't know.
Just announced. I don't know. I think it's Black Stallion they're remaking.
I think it's like Black Beauty, but it's like a girl. I don't know. I think I remember seeing something about that being like, that is not at all the story.
Well, if you have a horse that you would like to do something good with, the Pennsylvania State Police are seeking donations for their mounted patrol unit. They're looking for horses that are between 5 and 15 years old and stand between 16 and 18 hands tall. They prefer draft horses and draft crosses, and not so much thoroughbreds or other hot bloods, they call them, are less desirable. So if you have a hot-blooded thoroughbred that likes to run away, that's not a good option for the police horse. They will undergo a 120-day trial to determine their propriety, which includes a vet exam and seeing if they're good in crowds and gunfire and things like that. So they said what they do is they are looking for quiet horses free of serious stable vices. So I guess if you have an avid cribber, they're not going to take that one either.
So are they going to buy them or are they going to
No, you donate them and then they give them back when they're done or they find a permanent home for them.
Oh, that sounds fun. So get your horse completely, perfectly trained and it's perfectly well behaved and then give it away.
They have 28 horses at the police academy in Hershey, Pennsylvania, which we used to drive by all the time.
Oh, well,
so
good luck.
There you go.
I did sell a horse to a police station. Remember that, Jack Daniels?
Yes. Oh, that's right. So, well, the Pennsylvania's poor. They're seeking donations.
So. They want it for free.
So that's what's going on there. That's fantastic. My big news.
Well, I have a weird. I can do one of two things for you, Glenn. Okay. I can do another one of those weird news segments.
An hour or 15 more of the show would be great.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. So I have either a training tip or I can do another. See, I'm an insomniac and I don't sleep very good. And I woke up at like 4 a.m. And so I just go through USA Today and I find like the most random, obscure.
Reading a news site is not going to help you go back to sleep now.
No, well, it doesn't. No. Newsflash.
No. How about we do the training tip and we'll get to more news later.
Okay, sounds good. So on Facebook, one of our listeners tagged me in a post and said, "Do you have any suggestions?" And this is kind of a bad advice from horse people by horse people / training tip because somebody posted, there's a Facebook page called Horse Training Questions Answered, Asked and Suggestions. Okay, that's a long mouthful for a training Facebook page. So anyway, the lady writes, "I need tips. I have an 11-year-old quarter horse mare that I got about 2 months ago. She's been pretty much a pasture pet for most of her life now. She's absolutely beautiful under saddle at the walk and trot, but bucks every time she's asked for a canter, regardless of how hard she has worked." And of course, the pictures of the horse in a Western saddle, completely lathered and wet. "Every time she's asked for a lope, regardless of how she works, she bucks. I've used different saddles, pads, etc., with the same result. She's been seen by a chiropractor. No pain. She's purely rebelling. Anyway, I need tips on what else I can put on the saddle to add weight. She is unfazed by the weight of water jugs." They've got pictures of like jugs with like Tide Pod type containers with, I guess they haven't sat on the horse yet.
What are they doing with them?
I don't know. But anyway, she's now unfazed by the weight of the jugs filled with water. I need ideas of things that won't easily bust because apparently she's all wet and lathered because the water jugs are busting on top of her back. Okay, first of all, what are you doing?
That's always calming for a horse.
Why are you putting water jugs on a horse's back?
I've not seen that one.
No.
They don't do that at Road to the Horse, by the way. I'm just saying.
I can't. And somebody else is like, tie up a feed bag or a bag of grain. I mean, if you need a dummy rider, make a dummy rider. You know, like make a dummy. I get a dummy I've used is like a snow, you know, like a head to toe snow outfit, and you stuff it full and you put it on their back. It's not about the weight. It's just train your horse. So people are saying tie up a bag of feed on her back. It's not the weight that they care about. Pair of jeans, fill them with sand. Here's another suggestion is when it canters and bucks, kick it. Somebody else said, well, that's why she's just been a pasture horse. That's helpful. So here's the reason horses buck. When they're going into the canter, think about this. This horse has been standing around for 11 years. Most likely has not been in a pasture of 400 acres of hills. So basically you've taken this horse that's been standing around and you bring it in and you're like, I'm gonna ride it. And you throw all the stuff on it and it goes to canter. Well, fine. It can canter in an open field without bucking. But once you ask it to canter, it starts bucking. Here's why, in my professional opinion. So there's a thing called IUPF, okay? That's intermittent upward patellar fixation. You have basically, you know, your kneecap, Glenn? That's your horse's stifle. Horses have a third ligament that slides in front of their stifle. to help them sleep standing up. But what happens when they are not fit and they've been standing around for 11 years, when they go to canter, that third ligament will slide over in front of the stifle and lock. And the way that a horse, it's not pain mediated, it's not painful, but the way that a horse unlocks it is they ask to canter, and that extension phase of the leg being out behind them, you should see me talk with my arms. It's amazing. I just hate myself. In that extension phase, that third ligament slides over, and then they buck to undo to get that third ligament out of the way. So what you have to do is you have to actually get your horse fit. But my horse doesn't do it in the pasture. She canters in the pasture fine. That's because you're not asking her to engage and travel on a circle. Jennifer, how many times have people said, my horse bucks when it canters, and all you need to do is like trot it up hills and get it fit? It's like running stadium steps. You know, when you run stadium steps, your knees are bad. Josh says, get some exercise, and you run up the steps and you run up a hill, and it strengthens your quad, your muscle that's above your knee. And it strengthens that. Same with horses. Strengthen the horse's hind end and let them go uphill, zigzag down, uphill, zigzag down. If you're afraid to get on her, lead her up dang hills. At least you get some exercise too. But that makes that canter, that lope, more comfortable for her when she's doing it. So think about the biomechanics of why the horse is doing it. Horses do not exert energy. Write this down, Clint. Horses do not exert energy when they don't have to. If they are creating nobody does, especially Glenn. So you just have to get them fit. If you don't have hills, elevated trot poles, anything to make the horse's hind end stronger. And then that canter becomes no big deal. I mean, my gosh, baby Groot, I got him. He's like, you know, when I first got him, his butt was 2 inches higher than his withers, and he's just a mess, and he doesn't really know where his legs are. And so the whole time, we just started really cantering on command a couple weeks ago, because he would crow hop, and you guys know he catapulted me pretty good one time, because that he's not comfortable. So you have to make them comfortable, and how you do that is you get them fit. So as far as a training tip goes, just think about that. Okay. Think about getting the horse comfortable. They do not, anytime a horse has a behavior that is something that is using more energy than they have to, they're not comfortable. There's a reason. They never do it if they don't have to. So there you go.
Running up stadium steps would make me grumpy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you know what? There's other things you can do too to make the horse's hind end more comfortable, and that is changing the shoeing. You can rock her the toes and get the toes to like quicken the breakover. You know, you keep it from that extension phase, and that's when the leg is all the way out in the back. And then if you rock her that toe, it breaks over faster. So you got to rock her all four, because you don't want to break over faster and stepping on their front foot. But you do that. You can also do, there's like many, many surgical techniques that they can do besides just cutting that ligament so they can't stand up and sleep. So think about that. Get your horse to work. Make it happen. And don't blame the horse for bucking, and stop putting flipping water jugs on the horse. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I never heard of that one. And a lot of the old cowboys would just tell you, you haven't done enough groundwork yet. He's not ready yet. So
yeah, he's not ready. Why are you cantering the horse that just you got 2 months ago that has been standing around for 11 years? It doesn't make sense. Sorry. There you go. So that was a kind of a training tip, but also just a tip out of frustration. I get really frustrated when I see so many people giving people advice that is so aggressive and abusive to the horse, when the horse is really just trying its best.
Or just trying to figure out what you want.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Because the cues are not good either.
What are you telling me? Another one was, my horse bolts when it jumps. That's because your horse is comfortable. They're not going to bolt for any reason other than they are not comfortable.
On the mouth, or you're landing really hard.
Why do you know that and you're not a jumper? And then these people that are jumpers don't know that.
I've had to suffer through watching a lot of jumping in my lifetime.
Jen,
you do pick something up.
Exactly, Jen. Like, a horse bolts to a jump or after a jump. What is happening over the jump?
Rider is slamming horse in mouth and or back. Pretty much yes. universal.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Your horse is bolting before the jump or after the jump because there's something happening during the jump. Okay. Usually it's you're hitting him in the back or you're pulling him in the mouth. Get better. Ride or better. Or both.
Yeah.
Dear God, poor thing. But yes, Glenn knows the answer to that. Just hashtag ride best.
I also, worked with Emily for a long time on the jumping show, and I might have listened to a few of the things. So
I find that this is like really simple. You know, like some of this is so simple, and it's so frustrating to me.
But it's never the rider's fault in a Facebook post.
Yeah, but it's always the rider's fault. It is always. So anyway, I hope that helps a little
bit.
You
know what I'm saying. All right. So it is Wednesday, and I have a crappy list for you. And it's kind of a list that makes me scratch my head. It's not horse related, but it makes me scratch my head. We haven't talked about Kickstarter in a long time. And I actually did go on. Remember we used to talk about the horsey things were on Kickstarter?
Yes.
Well, I went on there, and I couldn't find any. There were none.
Oh, no.
So, that are active right now. So then I went down the rabbit hole and I found the top five most popular and funded things from last week. And I was going, well, okay, let's see what people are putting their money into these days. Number five is the Delta Shovel, a fully collapsible high performance shovel. Yes, you heard me correctly. It's a foldable shovel. So apparently the shovel needed reinvented, and they invented this foldable kind that folds up. You've seen foldable shovels. They've been around forever. But this is a high-performance shovel. How much would you pay minimum for a high-performance collapsible shovel?
I mean, I'm not really a shovel buyer, nor do I need one that's going to fit in my trunk to bury dead bodies, so yeah. Probably not too much.
Yeah, well, how about $149 was the minimum you could donate to get one of these shovels? And it was so popular that 683 people did it. They wanted $30,000 goal. They raised $150,000 with people buying $150 collapsible shovels.
I'm just trying to get people to like one of my posts so I can win a couple months at the gym for free. My God, go to my Facebook page and just click like on my video. I don't need your money. I just need likes because the most likes get a free couple months at the gym.
Can I congratulate you? You told me something off the air the other day that you haven't shared on the air, but I'm gonna spill the beans now.
See, this is why I don't tell you what I'm doing.
I know, but I'm gonna congratulate you. Jamie has lost. Did you say 4 inches off your waist?
Now five.
5 inches off your waist from kickboxing, right?
Yes. Well, that's the only thing I do. Right. So it must be that. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Awesome. That is pretty awesome. You didn't have 5 inches to lose, so I don't know what's the story now.
You know what? It's just nice that I can see a video of myself riding and not cringe. Well, I mean, good. There's still work to do, but yes.
Are you a black belt yet, or do they do belts?
They don't do belts. It's just all just getting in there and kicking butt. And my farrier now joins, so she and I kickbox every Tuesday. And my vet's
so she does a crappy job. Are you especially rough on her?
I'm like, you need to get fit. No, I'm just kidding. She's a marathon runner.
She could outrun you. So number four on this list of most funded things from last week in Kickstarter was the Litmore Battery Cam, a sleek wireless camera with a 365-day battery. Now, this is one that's meant to be put outside either as a security thing, or you could use it as a game camera. My brother, I don't know if you're friends with my brother
on
Facebook.
Oh, my God, I've talked to him about it. I want that camera.
Oh, my God. Do you see the twin? He gets the most amazing wildlife in his backyard in our neighborhood. He had twin Bambis the other day that were identical. So cute. But he gets bobcats and coyotes, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, this camera will, how much would you pay for a camera to put outside your door?
Well, I think that I'm looking at these cameras and they're $79.95 or something like that. So I really want to buy one because I want to catch hunters illegally hunting on my property. So I would probably pay about that.
Okay, well, you won't buy this one because apparently this one is motion detection. It has 1080p HD and local storage and it's waterproof and blah, 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 blah. 43 people backed it. They won a $10,000 goal. They've raised $210,000. And the minimum is $460 for one camera.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so for $160, yeah, I'm not buying that camera.
But I couldn't believe it. It's like, you can buy these for pretty cheap now. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, but the battery lasts a full year, which, by the way, they probably need the money because they're trying to figure out how to make that technology.
Right. I wish they'd make my phone last more than 12 hours.
Right.
How about this one is ridiculous. Number three of the top performers last week on Kickstarter is the Acteon Splash Bag, the super affordable dry bag. It is a waterproof bag you put your wet bathing suits in so it doesn't make everything else wet, like your car or your luggage. Yes, it's a waterproof bag.
I'm not kidding.
And it's not very big. It's a size that you could put your bathing suit in, or maybe a towel, maybe. So how much would you pay for a waterproof bag?
Well, none, because I use a Kroger bag or grocery bag because I go to the pool with my kid and I put his nasty wet ass bathing suit in there. And hopefully I remember to get it out of the car before it molds.
Apparently for $15, you could have got one of these. So it's not ridiculously priced, but apparently a lot of people have this problem because of their $19,000 goal, they raised $55,000 with 1,500 backers. And it's not done yet.
That's ridiculous.
Wrong business. Okay, number
this is a bag to put your bathing suit in.
Yes.
You know they give you those for free when you go to the grocery store.
But okay, this is a waterproof bag, Jamie. It's not any bag. It keeps all the water in. Now, don't forget your bathing suit in this waterproof bag because it'll be moldy in about 3 days if you.
That's what I'm saying. I just need to remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Now, number two on the list is the Packed Coffee Kit, the ultra portable stacking travel coffee kit. So what it is, it's one of those that has the multiple parts and the filter and everything and the little funnel, and it's all in one, so you can make your coffee on the road without using the coffee pot at the hotel, I guess. It's the best I can tell with this coffee.
Is this like make your coffee in the car, like during traffic?
No, I don't think you'd want to do that because I think you'd spill it everywhere because you have to pour the hot water over the filter, but the filter fits into the cup. It's kind of all in one unit to make instant coffee, I would think. I don't know. I don't know that much about coffee because I am not a coffee drinker. So you use this coffee kit to make your coffee. Now, how many things out there are there to make coffee? About 5 million at this point. Go to Walmart sometime and look at all the coffee makers. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently there was a need for another one. And if you donated $150, you could get the all-in-one coffee kit. And 1,646 people decided to do that. Of their $25,000 goal, they raised almost $255,000.
That's insane. Yes, we need to come up with there's other needs that need to be met. We'll have to find them.
Oh, I'm not done. Number one on the list is the Boaz 150-in-1 modular guitar. Now, you play guitar, right?
I do. I have been known to in the past.
Yes, yes. You used to play guitar on stage. Well, this guitar is kind of cool, actually. I will give them credit for cool. This guitar is fully modular. You can switch out the body. You can change several of the parts. You can change the string spacing. You can raise or lower the action in real time. I don't know any of that means, but I'm sure you do. So basically, this is a guitar that comes in parts, and you put on the parts you want. It's modular. You take it apart.
Why would you want to change and raise the action of your guitar? I don't know. I mean, I always like the low action guitar because it makes this is probably nerdy, but yeah, that's stupid. That's.
I don't know. It's kind of cool looking. I give them that. It is cool looking. And for a mere $300, you could get the basic guitar bundle.
It sounds like crap, but it's modular.
That's right. Probably does.
How much money has been raised for this?
Oh, you're going to not like this. So at this point of their $20,000 goal, they have raised $411,000 with 37 days to go.
I got to go look at this thing.
Do you want me to play a little?
Yeah.
The creation of music is a limitless adventure. Through an infinite amount of...
Unless you're Jamie, and then it's limited.
That totally sounds like me shredding. Form.
As guitar players, we don't want our creativity to be limited.
He literally takes parts apart and puts it all back together in the video. It's kind of cool, actually. It's an interesting idea. I guess there's, you know, you prefer different parts of the guitar. This way you don't have to buy multiple guitars. You just buy the parts.
Whatever.
There you go. That
sounds like a waste of time.
We're in the wrong business. We're trying to make a living entertaining people when we could just reinvent something that's already been invented.
I can't even change an easy gullet system, okay, without needing, like,
they're easier assistance. Than they used to be. They used to be really difficult to change.
I don't think they're that much easier. So, yeah, good luck with that, changing your guitar.
Well, if you don't want to back something that's new and have a risk of it not coming out and losing your money, then you need to go to horselovers.com because everything they have there is already out. They'll ship it to you.
You're in trouble.
Why? What happened?
Actually, I want to thank
Uh-oh.
Jen
Uh-oh.
Because she posted something about Horse Lovers the other day. And I bought. And I don't need any more boots. I don't need any more tall boots.
Well, it's like tall boots for like $2, right? It was ridiculous.
Justin Ladies Windshire Field Boots. Okay. Retail price of $395. Okay. These are like tall boots, fields that have little laces.
Name in the Western
it is, but they're Western. So that must not have sold a lot of these Windshire Field Boots to the Western people that know all about them because Horse Lovers from $395 marked them down to
$29.99. How does that happen?
Stop it. I told Chad, I'm like, I'm sorry. I have to. It's like they're free. It's like they're free.
They still have them, by the way.
And it's they're like still there.
Sizes 5 through 8, it looks like.
Every calf size. I mean, they have like tons of sizes. And that's the other thing, too. You know, you see something and they're like, never have your size. No, they have your size. Unless you have like a huge foot, you know, the size 9 or above, which, you know, that's like, it's not that huge. But they might have sold out a lot of those. Actually, oh, my
thank
God.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
There's actually some good reviews
in the world. Yeah.
Did you get one, Jen?
No, because I don't wear size 8.
Yeah, she wears a bigger foot. It just
see,
missed,
I'm
Jennifer.
Like universal 7.5. So I
that and at
was
that
it.
Price, if they don't fit, you give them away as a gift.
Oh my God, they're $30, and then you give them to somebody that you're like, give them brand new boots. They're like, oh my God, this person totally loves me because like these are like $1 million because they're not. They're $29.99. So yeah, so 92% I bought
2% off. That means they bought them for less than that.
No, that means that they're moving them. They're just give. It's a deal a day, man. That's a freaking deal.
That is a deal.
That's crazy.
That is a deal. You know, they do have a clearance section. Speaking of clearance, I looked on the clearance section today, and it is 125 pages long.
That's insane.
It was 20 items on a page, so you do the math. There is a ton of stuff in the clearance section, and I'm looking here, 50% off, 50% off, and this is English and Western and boots, and I mean, everything you can imagine is on here. Even the most ugly thing I'd seen Ariat ever produce is the Ladies Unbridled Stella Leopard Suede Flip-Flops. I actually saw those at a trade show once and went, oh, God, Ariat's jumped the shark. They just, it's like they're trying to design everything and not putting any thought into it whatsoever. But you can buy them. They're marked down to $24.
Let me see. Where are these? I want to see them.
They're actually on the first page of the clearance section. If you scroll down, you're going to see the Ladies Unbridled Stella Leopard suede flip-flops. Are they not the ugliest things you've ever seen?
This is supposed to be a commercial, Glenn, where we're helping them sell. And aside from just a really flat, unsupportive footbed, they're not that bad looking. But yeah, there's like the first like 20 pages are all Ariat stuff. So it's a really, really sweet deal.
I did want to mention this because they're very popular. Professional's Choice Western pads are really popular and they're very expensive usually. But right now they do have them marked down. If you go to the second page of the clearance section, you're going to see all kinds of styles and colors marked down from 10 to 20% off. And anytime you can find a sale on Professional's Choice stuff, you need to take advantage of it. So if you're looking for one of those pads, go there right now.
Nice.
And buy yourself a pair of flip-flops while you're at it.
I mean, my God, they're like, it's like they're free, Glenn.
Horselovers.com. All right, our guest is here, and sorry he is.
Well, we've got Steve Krause, the head of farrier services at Cornell University. Hello, Steve.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. I guess you guys all know what we're going to talk to Steve about. We're going to talk about hooves. So I'm going to ask you a question. I have just a random question. No knowledge, no necessary, you know, it's in that. I'm asking for a friend. What do you do for a horse that has a dank foot bruise that just will not go away? What is the best thing to do?
You're talking about a bruise on the sole, and if it won't go away, there may be an inside problem. To me, a bruise would, be a dark red spot on the sole.
Yeah. My friend had the vet out, and the vet found the bruise and put the hoof testers on it and just like, yep, it's right here. And so I've been like wrapping it and soaking it. And it's been about a week and a half. My friend, it's been about a week and a half.
The bruise itself is not going to disappear until the hoof grows out more or the sole grows out more, because you have damaged, tissue there. You have a bruise is usually the soft tissue between the coffin bone and the horny sole. So that is like a hemorrhage situation. So it takes time for the bruise to, heal over and move out of away from the sensitive sole.
Would you
so
suggest
that's not going to go away right
would...
away?
Would something that would support him and help him more be, it's on a hind foot on the outside. Would putting shoes on be something you would recommend or just like let it happen?
Definitely getting some more of what we call vertical depth with shoes, a boot or of some sort would definitely help that horse be able to find some comfort anyway. But it has to, it's just like, it's no different than if somebody, if a horse bit you in the arm and bruised your muscle, takes a long time. You have a black and blue mark. It's the same thing. So
gotcha.
It takes a while to replace the tissue, to regenerate and replace.
Well, I will tell her that.
And if you've ever been bit in the arm by a horse, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sure do. So what we're going to talk a little bit about too is the hoof health and the, I just moved to Oklahoma and we had, 6 months of rain, and now it's 6 months of completely dry and trying to figure out how to manage hooves in extremely wet weather and then extremely dry weather. What are some tips that you would give us for wet? And then we'll talk about dry.
Okay. Well, the two extremes of moisture are always difficult, because one of the biggest effects on hoof health and hoof quality is moisture conditions. So in wet weather, that constant wet weather is probably the toughest to deal with, because it actually softens the horny hoof wall and sole. So it deforms easier. It doesn't hold shoes as well. It breaks apart more. And the best thing, I guess, for that, and that is to try and keep the horse out of a wet environment, which means if obviously you're not going to keep them in all the time, but if you can create better drainage in your pastures and paddocks, or don't have them turned out in a muddy area all the time, that's the worst for horses' feet, constant mud. High humidity doesn't help either. So in South Florida during the winter, they have problems with high humidity in a place like that. And when you, I guess the only thing that could be worse than constant wet conditions is some of the summers we've had here up in upstate New York, where it rains for 2 weeks and then it dries up for 2 weeks, then it rains for 2 weeks, and feet are contracting and expanding and contracting and expanding, because that's what they do. They either fill up with more moisture or they lose moisture and tighten up. So it's really, we're asking how to control the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a difficult problem. And so you have to be flexible in your horse care.
So we've got them contracting and we've got them expanding and we've got, is there any topical anything that I can put on my horse that's going to make a difference? Like there's the Rainmaker, and you think about putting Rainmaker on a horse's hoof when it's super dry. Is that all BS?
Right. Well, I think these things have a certain amount of help. Any type of coating that you could put on the outer wall of the horse's foot that will resist the excessive moisture can be of help. Some of the beeswax type hoof coatings that stick to the foot and don't have trapped bacteria in there. Tough stuff, which puts a semi-permeable membrane on the horse and actually sheds water really well. But that has to be renewed at least once a week. And most of these things, you know, the farrier might put it on, but the horse owner has to follow up once a week with it to maintain the coating. And so that could help. The other thing that I have found in farriers, again, in South Florida, in the moisture conditions, find that if you're shoeing these horses, if you hot fit the shoes on all these horses, you help tighten the foot up. You dry out a little excessive moisture with your hot fitting of the shoes, and you kill a lot of the fungi and bacteria that's ever present that's trying to invade that hoof wall, which is quite weak when it's very moisture laden.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So hot shoeing is going to help. I feel like horses' feet grow, it seems to me, slower in the winter and faster in the summer. What are some appropriate shoeing or trimming cycles to kind of keep as a baseline?
Well, that is correct. And to the best of my knowledge, hoof growth tends to follow the length of day. We're seeing now a reduction in hoof growth here at the end of August. And this is where we are in upstate New York, and the days are shorter. I get up early, and now it's a little dim when I'm getting up early, where it used to be quite bright. So so the hoof growth follows that cycle. It lags behind it. So we start seeing feet really start growing faster here in upstate New York in March before there's really any pasture. So it's not the grass effect or anything, but it's the length of daylight has been increasing, and now it's been decreasing since the end of June. So there's a certain amount of cyclic stuff available to the horse that influences how fast hoof growth went. And then some horses, your shoeing cycle in the summer could be 4 to 5 weeks. And the same horse during the winter could be 6 to 8 weeks.
So basically, it seems like all that, it concentrates on either growing hair or growing hoof. You're either going to get a winter coat
Correct.
Or a new hoof. I never thought of that. It's very similar. That's
right.
Amazing.
So it follows that same idea.
Can I say light bulb moment? Can I just put that out there?
Right? I mean, my gosh. That is a light bulb moment. I didn't know that it followed the light. And it's like it redirects it to the hair or the hoof. Sorry, Steve. We're just fascinated by that.
So you probably noticed this time of year or in September, your horses are shedding a little bit here and there because they're preparing to grow a winter coat, especially in the northern climates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. That is fascinating, right, Jen? That's like, I never thought of that. So what are some, being that it is competition season most of the places around the world, you know, are there any special things that you would recommend for people that are competing their horse to keep horse hoof health active?
Well, I think one of the things that my clients do on a regular basis over the years is they schedule their shoeing along with their competitions. So they keep the horses on the proper schedule. And so they're not entering a competition, for instance, at the end of a shoeing cycle, especially if you're endurance racing or anything that's, really strenuous and everything. You want your horse to be the best he can be. Mm-hmm. And so that's what my clients do, is pay attention to their competition, event schedule, horse show schedule. And occasionally we may book appointments or tentatively book appointments like 3 cycles ahead, looking at that calendar. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do make adjustments for various reasons. But if you really keep everything where it should be, then you have fewer problems like lost shoes or horses stumbling or just things that, you know, are horseshoeing related, because you're keeping everything closer to the optimum.
Awesome. One of my favorite things to do is to go onto y'all's Facebook page and see the things that you post, Steve, and how fascinating and amazing the strides you guys are making in learning more and helping horses at your farrier school. So give a plug for the school and for your Facebook page and where people can get a hold of you.
Great. So we have the oldest continuing operating horseshoeing school that I know of in the United States. We're 105 years old. And we have the lowest student to instructor ratio. We only take 4 students at a time for 16 weeks. And it's a very comprehensive course. We teach the idea is to come out of here understanding and applying the basics well. Anything we can add on top of that, of some of the stuff you see on the Facebook page and the hospital cases and lame horses we work on, that's experience. That's great. But you're not ready to do that. But to be able to do a good job, understand the principles of trimming, fitting, and so on, anatomy and hoof diseases, conformation, that's what my students do real well with. And they continually tell me that all I'm doing is fixing the basics, which weren't done right. And the horses are going so much better. Mm-hmm. So visit us on our Facebook page, Cornell Farrier Program, and come and visit us here at Cornell if you're interested in that.
Fantastic. Well, Steve Krause, Head of Farrier Services at Cornell, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that too, and have a good day. It's always great to talk with you guys.
Thanks, Steve.
So that's the lowest student to teacher ratio in the world, 4-1.
That's amazing. I wish first grade did that.
That's hands-on right there. You know, all this talk about horses' feet made me think about where they walk, which made me think about Jared Rogerson, which made me think about his song Dirt, which we haven't played in a long time. So
that was a real long way around to that.
I stretched into that one. I was trying to find a way to... It's actually what made me think of the song, though. So here it is, Dirt. And we're coming back. We have some more weird news. And then we have some really, really old news with Abby in the Chronicle and History segment coming up very shortly.
Dirt is what this land's made of. Work is what this ranch is made of. No amount of money can buy. No amount of money can buy. Hurt is what them colts put on me. Curse is my response immediately. And sometimes I don't know why. No amount of money can buy. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for. And there is no one reason why. No amount of money can buy this dirt. What she does with me, and it works. She's got a good hold on me. And no amount of money can buy. No amount of money can buy. Shirts, we give them off our backs, I'm sure. Cause out here we do it like that. There's a feeling that you can't deny. It's something no amount of money can buy. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for. And there is no one reason why. No amount of money can buy this dirt. Dirt is where the best roads lead. Dirt, it's how I know I'm really free. And I wouldn't trade this way of life for anything. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for. And every day is a miracle. Like the green, green grass that grows up out of. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for. And there is no one reason why. No amount of money can buy. There's no amount of money that can buy this dirt. Dirt. You can't afford this dirt. It's not for sale. Grab a shovel.
grab a $124 special shovel if you go to Kickstarter right now, made out of gold. So that was Jared Rogerson with his song Dirt. He has a brand new album out. We're trying to get him on. We're going to get that done, Jamie. We need to get that done. Yes. We're trying to do a special episode where we talk about his new album, his new songs. He's always a lot of fun. So we'll be working on that. But in the meantime, Jennifer, you came home. Oh, geez, it was... and then it's rained for a week after vacation, and you hadn't get the ride. So the first time out in the month, I bet you were glad you had some stirrup leathers from Total Saddle Fit.
Yes, because Nigel had had 4 weeks vacation. That's
yeehaw!
Not a good thing when you're... Yeehaw! So I was very happy to have my Total Saddle Fit Stability stirrup leathers because they're wider on that top part of the loop. You know, English stirrup leather is a big loop. It's wider on the top, narrower underneath. So it helps your leg be more stable and secure. Very happy to have those when the hijinks happened, and they did. And to boot, because I'm out of shape and susceptible to blisters, I was very, very happy because unlike copycat wide stirrup leathers, these are very thin under your leg. It's like they're almost not there. So I was avoiding blisters and rub marks. And because it's Total Saddle Fit, you can buy them at TotalSaddleFit.com. And if you don't love them to death, and I'm sorry, but you will, you get free shipping both ways. They'll ship them back to you for free and refund your money. So it's a no-risk operation right there. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. So check them out at TotalSaddleFit.com. Well, Glenn, you mentioned dirt. I want to talk about sand. Okay, so let me, I've got some news. Let's hear the news sounder. If you read the headline, it says, French couple facing 6 years in jail after police say they stole sand from a beach in Italy. That's right. Facing 6 years in jail after police say they stole sand from a beach in Italy. Apparently, it is illegal to steal or take any sand from Sardinia, Italy, which is a beautiful island. Wow. It is.
How what? Much sand did they take? Like a truckload?
Well, you think, okay, you know, yeah. I mean, one time I went to the green sand beach at the southern tip of the Big Island, and you don't take anything from Hawaii because it's like super bad luck to take something from Hawaii. So we get home and take Chad's bathing suit out of the suitcase. We didn't have a dry bag at that time.
I know where you can get one of those for $15.
And he had buckets of sand because he went out in the ocean and men's bathing suits have pockets. Yeah. So his pockets were full of this green sand. So we didn't mean to steal it, but we stole it. So I don't think that that was punishable by 6 years in jail. However, these people did not just take a pocket full of sand. They took 14 bottles of sand, adding up to 90 pounds of sand.
Weren't they putting them? I mean, the bag limit's 50 pounds. I don't know.
What are you going to do with 90
Gifts?
Pounds of sand?
I'd sell it on eBay? I don't know.
They said, the couple said, we didn't know. We didn't know it was a crime. But police say beaches on the island include signs in multiple languages, alerting visitors to the regulations.
What's so special about the sand, by the way?
Probably because it's illegal to take it.
Yeah, I don't know. It must be some special sand.
All right, moving on. Next story. So we're going to go to Florida, of course.
A Florida man.
Florida. A Florida man. So do you know what a kinkajou is, Glenn?
No idea. What's a kinkajou?
It's like a little monkey honey bear type thing. It's apparently a relative of the raccoon and native to Central and South America. Okay. It's like tiny and it's cute and it is not a pet that you can just have.
Is it a monkey?
It's like a little monkey thing.
Okay.
A monkey raccoon. But it's like brown. I don't know. It's a kinkajou. It's just a thing. So this man is standing in his kitchen and he looks outside and he's like, what is that outside my window? Well, what he didn't know is it's a kinkajou. So he's like, I need to start feeding it. So he goes outside and he leaves it a bunch of watermelon. And the kinkajou is very appreciative to have the watermelon. So he eats all the watermelon. And the next day, the man looks outside and the kinkajou is still outside. So he goes outside to take it food again. Ka-ka! The Kinkajou immediately attacked him, the report says, biting him on the ankles and the calves, drawing blood. Apparently, the sounds of his screams woke his girlfriend, thought somebody was breaking into the house. It was like, apparently, this completely psychotic Kinkajou that attacked this guy. They just typically eat fruit. They're like, yeah, they have
I'm
little sharp
at pictures
claws
of
teeth.
These things. They got some teeth too.
It left scratches and bite marks all over his right leg, calf, shin, and his left foot. So basically it had jumped on him and he couldn't get it off of him. So he ran into the house and like trapped it. Like shook it off its leg into the bathroom. Okay. And they closed the bathroom door. Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office came and got the Kinkajou.
God, what don't we have that'll kill you in Florida? Apparently everything, even Kinkajous.
Well, they took it to a licensed wildlife facility. Kinkajou owners in Florida would need to apply for a Class 3 wildlife permit. But guess who had the permit?
He did?
Nobody.
Oh, big surprise. So,
just wild Kinkajous in Florida, apparently. God, so, yeah, there
have.
You go.
And they have massive claws. I mean, it's an odd-looking animal, that is for sure.
Yeah, it wow. is. That's why I'm saying they're like, it's not a monkey. It's not a kid.
No, it almost looks like a panther. And just it's a weird-looking animal. It's got a lot of cat features, too, except for those teeth. Ugh.
The girlfriend's quote is, it sounded like a 300-pound man was tackling him in the kitchen. We will probably never forget this. Everyone is like, only in Florida.
Now, would you take that or the alligator at your door? Which would you rather have?
I mean, give me a Kinkajou.
Yeah.
At least you can kick it or something.
Yeah, you at least got a chance, right?
We are going to now head to California. The other... Heading over to California, a man has been sentenced to just over 8 years in federal prison. Do you know why, Glenn? Probably
California
not.
California could be anything.
He was smuggling drugs from China. So you get Chinese drug, you're smuggling drugs in. Oh, no, he's not smuggling like marijuana like last time. This guy had $11 million worth of erectile dysfunction drugs.
Viagra?
That's right. Exactly. $11 million of Viagra that he smuggled in from China, and he will be going to jail. That is a man that really needs his hoo-ha to work.
That's a lot of... The Chinese now, they're taking it, they're making everything.
I know. Huh? It's cheaper there. Yeah. No, one last story.
Okay.
Okay, and now we're going to head to one of my favorite places on the planet, the Newark Airport. One of the most beautiful, lovely places to be in the entire country, the Newark Airport. Okay, so you go through security, Glenn. Okay, you're going through security and you're like, wallet, keys, do I have my ID, do I have my ticket, all that stuff. You get all your stuff. Sometimes things get left behind. Okay. So this time it was something that they've never seen that was left behind. A 15-inch long snake was spotted by a young girl. and apparently the TSA said she heeded the, if you see something, say something. And she alerted a TSA officer to let them know that in a bin, there was a thin 15-inch black snake. Yellow band around its neck. It is considered harmless. They did not kill it. They took it away and they had to shut down TSA to catch the snake. And what I think.
And the screaming people that were running out of the TSA.
Exactly. The TSA New Jersey Federal Security Director, Tom Carter, reports it's common for travelers to accidentally leave items at the checkpoint. Typically, people leave items such as their keys, sunglasses, ID, hats, and gloves. But this is the first time someone has left a snake behind. We have a fairly robust lost and found program that reunites passengers with their lost items, but this passenger doesn't need to call us about a snake. Now, I know what you're thinking.
What? Yeah.
Who left their snake behind?
Yeah.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
I think it's just infested with snakes in Newark.
Or your airport. The snake was in the. How would a snake be in a bag? You don't notice it though. like,
I mean, come on. I think that you guys
now they're going to have to add something else to the list that they say 5,000 times while you're waiting in the long line. Please take off your shoes, your belts, take your computers out of the bag, and all snakes must go in their own bin.
They must go in their own bin.
They're going to have to add to the sign.
I think that the Newark Airport and TSA agents are just trying to cover the fact that the place is infested with snakes. So good luck.
Well, there they do eat rats. So there's that. And it is Newark. So maybe the snakes are a good idea.
And these are the articles that I find when I can't sleep at night.
And you're all the people who live in New Jersey, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
All right. At least they don't have kinkajous or whatever they are.
Attack vicious kinkajous.
All right. Let's go next to Abby. Abby works with the Chronicle of the Horse, and she comes on once a month to give us the Chronicle in history. That's right. The Chronicle was smart when they started, and they kept all of their newspapers back like 1,000 years because the Chronicle was here when people were writing in blood with you know.
It was written, the first one was on papyrus.
Yes, it was. And they had to pound it out, and that's about when the first one was. Is that, are we right, Abby? Is that what you're finding in the archives?
That's about right. Although I'm concerned that you jump straight to blood.
Well, you know, we just took a tour of England.
I would not have wanted to be in your village.
Yeah, we just took a tour of England and Scotland. And let me tell you, when you take the history of England, Scotland, all they talk about is blood. Jamie will vouch for that. Go to the Tower of London, you're going to hear more about blood than anything else. So it's crazy.
It's true. What did you find for us, Abby?
Well, I found a couple things. I found three really fun headlines just about the times. I chose 1994 today for our look back. Which,
oh, God, that was like forever ago. God, that's like so long ago. Jeez.
It's hard to believe that was 25 years ago.
Yeah. So I found three articles, and I'm sorting through. And then I found this gold mine. I'm going to save it for last. But it's an entire page of essentially like, when people are selling horses, what they say versus what they mean from 1994. And as we find out every time I come on, nothing has changed. So yes. That's going to be our finale today. But otherwise, I have three news articles / advertisements that I thought were really interesting. The first one is, so 1994 was a World Equestrian Games year. It was in Holland from July 27th to August 7th. And one of the ads that I found was for, I obviously did not have live scoring on the internet. There was a hotline that you could call to get your equestrian results at the World Equestrian Games. So they charged you $1.98 per minute. You had to be 18 or older to call. And it was available from any rotary dial or touch phone in the United States. And so they had show jumping, dressage, like all of the disciplines. And you could call to hear who was favored to do well, behind the scenes, different results, interviews with the winners. So that was how we got our World Equestrian
Games. Was it a woman with a really breathy voice?
I swear, Mom, it was for the results of the show. I swear.
I swear that's what it was for. I don't know. Maybe two and one. I don't know. I did not call. I do wonder if the number's still active.
Hello. Thank you for calling to find out the results.
Why does this seem so funny now?
Call the number right now. Call it. Glenn, what's the number? What's the number?
Yes.
No, I'll have Glenn call it. Glenn can call it. Do it.
All right, let's see. You know it's going to be some business, right? All right.
Probably.
Thank you for calling the World Equestrian Games Hotline.
Okay, yeah, I have it.
Okay, what is it?
All right, it's 1-900.
Oh, no, God. I can't call that.
Your wife is on the line. You're not going to get it.
I don't even think 900 numbers exist anymore.
I'll call it on my cell phone right now.
It's going to charge you $4,000 a minute for whatever you're calling. It's going to be. No,
that's
actually.
Fair. It's 198.
Skype system will not allow me to call 900 numbers.
What's the number I'll call on my
man. All right. Well, if anybody wants to try it, it's 1-900-933-RIDE, and I'm not responsible for anything that happened.
Okay, I'm calling it. I'm on speaker.
All right, let's hear what it is. Oh yeah, I can't call it.
The call you are attempting to place is not allowed from this line.
Nah, you're not allowed to call it either.
Oh.
My husband blocked you.
Apparently, Chad's blocked you from all the good stuff.
Damn it. I tried.
Oh, man. Maybe I was hoping they still had news like it was going on today. That would be fun. So I guess the interwebs, not so much a thing back then. Sad. Although it did feel like that recently with the Pan Am games, trying to like update those live scores. I was in Millbrook, New York at the horse trials there, and we could not get service. We were stabled right near Philip, and we were, you know, going over to his groom to see if she had any information. Nobody had anything. It was a disaster. So maybe we need a phone line again. Who knows?
Yeah, there we go. Cause the internet doesn't work apparently. So,
right. Yeah. Apparently not. So the next one I found, and I need an assist on this one because I am not, nor do I claim to be a vaulting expert. I think it's awesome. I have never tried it. I would hurt myself terribly. But this article, apparently the vaulting world was having a conflict over helmets in 94. I did go to look up because when I was thinking about it, I assume the vaulters, I've never pictured them wearing helmets.
No, they don't wear helmets.
No. But I don't know.
No.
But apparently the 4-H leaders made it mandatory in 94, effective July 1st, that all youth and adults participating in 4-H equestrian activities through vaulting had to wear a helmet. And people came out and argued that this really throws off our balance when we have.
Yeah, they were like huge back then. There were big bowls on your head. They weighed a ton. That's like...
So anyone that's involved in 4-H vaulting, I don't even know if they still do that. Let me know if you're wearing helmets. But I do know that is not currently. We're not watching vaulters at the Olympics with helmets on.
That's a graceful look when you're wearing one of the old hunt caps while you're trying to vault. It's a great
man,
spot.
Right? I mean, you'd knock it off.
Yeah, exactly.
In 94, that was a giant salad bowl on your head.
Did they even have straps under the chin? I guess they did. I guess it goes back further when they didn't have straps.
Some of them. Yeah. I mean, if I were to try to vault, I would need like pillowcases strapped to myself, bubble wrap around the arm, like football helmet. It would be terrible.
Just give me some wine. I'll vault. Let's go.
There you go. That's the other armor you can use. The third article was actually very cool about the first intercollegiate invitational riding meet. So it was hosted at Cornell. They developed a movement among college equestrians to have them come together. And I believe it was an equitation. It said, of course, as far as riding meets go, there are no entry fees. And I just laughed and laughed and laughed. But this was the first, it looks like, This is actually a look back. So this was, they reran articles from even further back. So that would have been 1954. That's my bad. I didn't look at what section it was in.
1954.
But they reran.
I thought it was
about.
I thought it was about 60 years ago. So that'd be about right. Yeah.
Yep. So that's, you know, celebrating the 60 year anniversary now. So very cool. Thanks, Cornell, for doing that. I was not very good on my.
I wonder what entry fees were to horse shows in 1954. $10. You could enter. $2 stabling.
Oh, yeah. They probably paid you. Wow. All right. So now we have. It's called "Reading Between the Lines: What Horse Folk Really Mean." It was written by Cookie McClung, and I have seen articles by this person before, and they never fail. They are hilarious. So these are mostly about horses for sale and what people say versus what they mean in 1994, and it's all the same. So I will read kind of what the seller might say, and then I will read this journalist's opinion on what's
which
really
is
going
really
on with the horse.
Funny, so, because she was picking on the people who put the ads in the Chronicle to sell their horse. If you think about it,
that's how they were sold back then. Yeah,
you had the newspaper where you paid by the word, so you always tried to abbreviate everything. And then the Chronicle, that's the two places where you could sell a horse.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we may have, I mean, I could probably look in the classifieds and find these exact phrases and know what this journalist thinks of them. The first one is, this horse shows a lot of potential. Obviously, we still say that. Apparently that means this is an 8-year-old who has yet to find a niche in his equine life. His previous owners tried a variety of careers, including racing, he wouldn't break from the gate, showing, he wouldn't go in the ring, driving, he made matchsticks out of a Meadowbrook, dressage, he was dyslexic and did the test backwards, polo. He kept stepping on the ball and fox hunting. He's anti-blood sport. He's currently been relegated to a babysitter for the family's pet Sicilian donkey.
But he has lots of potential.
Lots of potential for something.
Lots of potential, right? You just got to find out what it is. He's a little spooky about the water. Forget riding any cross country with streams. This horse needs a straw to drink out of his water bucket. Love that. I wouldn't take a check for $10,000 for this horse, but I'd take $500 in cash and run like a bandit.
Do people buy horses with checks anymore?
That's another good idea.
I don't know.
Maybe if you really knew if the two people knew each other, but otherwise, yeah. Would you? I mean, even back when we were buying and selling horses, we were only taking cash.
I did cash for my last.
Yeah.
Just PayPal me. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But can't they stop that too?
The last PayPal thing.
Can you stop PayPal after you've done it?
Oh, Jamie knows all about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Listen.
The answer is yes then, so don't take PayPal. Cash.
It depends on the situation, right, Jamie?
You know what, Glenn? Let's move on to the next one. I don't want to talk about my PayPal mishap. Abby, how do you know about that? Did I talk about that on the show? God, I'm an idiot.
Oh, you did. You talked about it.
Yeah, Abby remembers and I don't. Let's call a 900 number.
So I bought a horse and I was like, I'll PayPal you the money. And her name was Jen. And so I sent the money to her name Jen and her last name. But it turns out I sent the money to Jan with the same last name.
That's right. You sent it to somebody completely different.
And Jan also, oddly enough, has a PayPal account. And so I put $2,500 into some random stranger's thing. And
did
now
you ever
I
get it back? I don't remember what happened.
Oh, God. She was like, where's the money? And I'm like, I sent it to you. She's like, no, you didn't. I was like, it said it went through. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I call PayPal. Like, immediately, I'm freaking out. And then PayPal.
The fact that
like,
somebody actually answered the phone is amazing. That's
Yeah, exactly. It's right. It took me 20 minutes to find a number to call on the dang thing. And so I call them and they're like, you're screwed. And I was like, no. But apparently I put the money in her PayPal account, but Jan hadn't pulled it out of her money. If she had stuck it into her bank account, I'd be done. But they were able to pull it out in time. But yes, now if anybody wants me, they will invoice me and I will pay the invoice.
With cash.
Moving on. Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, I panic every time I use PayPal now just because of you, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Triple check that email. Yeah. Word to the wise.
And I've done that. I've actually done that where I sent the wrong. I did an Amazon gift card for somebody and I put it somebody else's email address. And by the time they got it, and I was friends with both of them. So what do you say to the person you're friends with? Oh, I didn't mean to send that to you.
Hey, give me that back.
So you buy a second gift card. And then the first friend asked, what was that for? Just because I like you. That's
oh
why.
My God, you're an idiot. You're such a sucker. I'd be like, hey, they're like, I'm going to call you.
They're like, Glenn's being real friendly today.
Yeah, geez, send me gift cards.
Just won the lottery.
That's awesome.
Jamie's going, damn, why wasn't I the friend? I didn't get no gift card.
I know.
Yeah.
I'd have known you did that by accident.
To send gift cards.
Yeah, you would have known. You'd have known it wasn't meant for you.
And I wouldn't have given it back.
Yeah. Then, I tell you what the panic was when I figured it out. I was like, and it was a business thing, so I wasn't too panicked, but I was a little panicked what I wrote on the note. Because I thought, if the note doesn't make any sense to this other friend, but is really weird, and it was just thank you. So it was like, phew.
And you're like, oh, here's your money.
Yes.
The number is 1-900-555.
Yeah, it wasn't really an accident. That's just what Glenn tells Jen.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. She's listening. Go ahead. What was it? Are there any more? We're totally steering you off course. Sorry.
That's fine. This one says, you could take this old mare out cross country in just a halter and a lead shank. And the translation is, you could also jump out of a stealth bomber with an umbrella.
I like that. Yeah, you could take her out on cross country with a halter and grazer.
I love these. I mean, I always do these with these either cartoons or something. I'll post the picture to the Horses in the Morning page and the Auditor page. There are probably 25, 30 of them, but all still relevant. This one will make Glenn cry. It says he's not really picky, but he does like good hay. And the translation is alfalfa straight at $10 a bale.
Yeah, for like 30.
$10 a bale. Wow.
That's expensive.
Yeah. I think we paid 35 now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, Ocala.
For reference, I just looked it up. Apparently, cell phones stopped allowing you to call 900 numbers in 2012. So no cell phone. They're eliminated. Yeah.
You think I would know that? I mean, all the 900 numbers I've tried to dial since then, but God.
Other countries apparently still have them, and you can still get billed your $19.95 a minute.
Turn on the TV in the middle of the night, and you see those things. Don't you have to, like, maybe you have to have a landline.
Yeah, maybe.
To call Sheila.
Maybe you need to sleep more. You really need to sleep more.
I know. I do.
Abby, thank you so much for joining us again. This is always a fun segment. It's a Chronicle in History. Where can people find the Chronicle?
That's going to be chronofhorse.com, Chronicle of the Horse on Facebook, and at Chron of Horse on Instagram. Give us a follow. There's a lot going on in the equestrian world right now, and, you know, we like to be either the first or second to get to it.
Okay,
so we will keep you updated.
Do not let your bosses hear this segment, please. They will never let you come back on.
Bad.
I was going to bring this up because Jemmy was supposed to be here today, but she got convention flu and is really sick. So I wanted to bring this up because our episode in our Finding Florida episode from Sarasota just came out last night. And I wanted to ask you guys both if you would do this. So she was brave. She has vertigo and is scared of heights, but she actually did the trapeze. So we went to trapeze school at the circus, and she climbed the 40-foot ladder and did trapeze, swinging back and forth, feet over the bars, the whole thing. You'll hear how she made out in the episode. Would either of you try it? Now, you're strapped in. There's a rope. You're not going to kill yourself. Okay.
Didn't we say wine first and then yeah?
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Give me a glass of wine, man. Woohoo, yeehaw.
Yeah. That's always the answer.
I don't think they let you do it drunk, though, your first time. Probably have to wait a few before you're allowed to do it drunk. Would you do it, Abby?
Probably.
Jamie?
There's ropes. Yeah, I'm never jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, but I could do that.
Yeah. You know what the scariest part was? They used one of those very long aluminum expandable ladders, and it's tied to the top thing where you climb up the little, you know, little platform, and that's what you climb up with it shaking, and the thing's fully stretched out. And she did say that was the scariest part, was climbing the ladder.
And on Kickstarter, you can find that collapsible version on Kickstarter.
Yes, that's right.
It all ties together.
You can set this up in your backyard.
Well, if you want to hear how she made out and her screaming, you can tune into FlyingFloridaPodcast.com, the latest episode from Sarasota. Well, thank you, Abby. We appreciate you joining us. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Have a good
one. Thanks, Abby. Love you, mean it. Bye. I love that segment.
I know. She's so much fun. I'm glad she volunteered to do that. And she volunteered to do it because she was just looking. We used to do it years ago. I mean, years ago when we first started. And then she was looking through. They actually have a library of all the old past issues. And it goes back, 100 years. So she was having so much fun looking back that she said, let's revive that. And I said, yes, let's do that.
Perfect.
Really bad ads. We need some for Friday. It'd be my first time reading a really bad ad in a month. So send your really bad ads in to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. That's Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. We appreciate that. We've had some nice emails lately. I don't know if you noticed, we don't need to bring up her name, but I don't know if you noticed the one that was sent to you yesterday. I forwarded it over. If you haven't seen it yet, you're going to want to take a look.
I
it
did.
Will make your day.
I wanted to give her a little shout out. Hold on.
What's her first name? Let's just give her first name. But if you want to send us an email, you can do so. Glenn@HorseRadioNetwork.com or Jamie@HorseRadioNetwork.com.
Her name is Michelle, and she is a new listener to Horse Radio Network, and she loves the content. It's so relevant and diverse, and this is my favorite part. And Jamie is just so dang funny. I love you. great.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And if you want to say, by the way, if you're going to send nasty emails, you send them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
Yeah.
If you're sending glowing emails, you can send it to either one of us. But we don't want the bad ones. So send us somebody else. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, Spay and Neuter Geld.
You're welcome,
Kayla.
What did I learn today? There's just more stuff that's going to kill us in Florida.